are thankful to see each one. If you have your Bibles and like to turn with us, we're going to begin in the book of Acts chapter 9. Book of Acts chapter 9. And before we begin to read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, we know that you've done so much for us in Christ, and even have yet so much to do for us in Christ in the future. A new body, an eternal home, and Father, even blessings that we probably can't even imagine. But we know that what you have waiting on us is far more than what this world could ever offer us. Help us to look up to you. Help us to look forward to the things that you've promised. And Father, even in the work that you've given us in this world, help us to be diligent at it. Help us, Father, to accomplish your will. And Father, we pray that even souls would look to your Son for an everlasting salvation. For we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. In Acts chapter 9, we get to a familiar reading of Scripture about a lady by the name of Tabitha or Dorcas. You know, there's a lot of movement in the wrong direction in our day and time in many things. I think about, women being in the pulpit and preaching and doing things that God has not taught them to do. But yet, I sure do love to teach on the things that God has given women to do. I'll say this, that godly women are a great treasure in the work of God. They are greatly valuable, and I love to teach on that. I love to try to lift it up in the Scripture. I tell you, the Word of God does so much to lift up women. I wish people would look that try to ridicule Christianity and try to tear it down, that they would go and look at some of the other religions and some of the other things that were done. You know, in a lot of places, even wives were looked at as almost nothing but property. Especially you go to places like Asia, you go to some tribes, even here in America, and different things. I mean, my goodness, there was some of them. You know, the man died, the woman basically had to die with him. There were some places they'd even put you on a boat, and while they were going to burn the man, they'd burn the woman too. And, a lot of times alive, I'm sure they might have slipped a dagger to somebody somewhere, but still, that's a pretty weird way of doing things. But yet people did. And yet a lot of times they were abused, neglected. There's even places today, that the men just have no respect for their wives. I think with Islam, in a lot of places, like if you'd go to Iraq, if you'd go to Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, places like that, the women are so disrespected. And yet God lifted them up. God gave them a place. Now, we know that God created man in his own image, and then he created the woman for the man. That is important things to note. But yet, in creating the woman, he created somebody that was very valuable, not only to the man, but even within the church. I want to look at a few and get across some things, because there is work that needs to be done today. There's work being done by many women in the church that needs to be appreciated, that needs to be noticed, that needs to be even given thanks for. And yet we see there's a lot of things that can be done. I'll say this, women can be great witnesses for the Lord in this world. And I know there's been some that have been a huge blessing to me. And while I would preach against a woman preacher or a woman deacon or those kind of things, and I know those things are clearly laid out in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the qualifications for deacons and preachers, there are things also that we need to come back to and say, there's some places that God wants women to be. There's some work that God wants women to do. And that work is very valuable and very needful also. And so we want to get across some of that. We're going to begin in verse 36 of Acts chapter 9. He says, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did." Notice that statement. Full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. It wasn't a small work that she was doing. It was a big work she was doing. And it wasn't something light. It was something big. Now, I don't know the age of Dorcas here. I don't know. You know, I've got an opinion on some things because some things are not mentioned. There's not a husband mentioned. There's not, you know, children or things like that mentioned. Not saying she didn't have any. But it just seems to me that she was at least middle-aged, not older. I think that would be easy to understand. But she had a great burden for those in that area that were widows. And it testifies to that. We know how she fell sick and died. And it says in verse 37, it came to pass in those days she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And far as much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Now, I'm going to stop reading there. I'm not trying to preach on the miracle side of this, but notice what these widows did. They showed Peter. They were weeping. They were upset, which tells you this. I think she did more than just make the coats. I think no doubt she was a comforter to these women. I think she had been a blessing to them, had been concerned about their needs, what they were going through, pain, suffering, and I'm not talking necessarily physical pain, but even emotionally what they're dealing with, that she had become very close to these people. She had shown kindness to them, and in that, no doubt, had pointed people towards Christ, showing people the love of Christ. And she did this work. She had an ability that she had to evidently make some coats, make some garments. And in doing so, she was showing people the love of Christ. Now, a lot of times I try to encourage people, find what you can do. You know, there are people that find out that they have little gifts. You know, over the years, I've gotten a few gifts from different things. I've got a couple of paintings at home. There's people in church that are able to paint. They can paint beautifully. And I've got a couple of paintings at home from people. I've got some knit work. I've got some embroidery work that people have done that's been given to me, and I appreciate it all. I've got even things that have been made out of wood, boxes, little boats. There's a man that likes to whittle. He's given me some little bitty rocking chairs and things of that nature. I've got a whittled out gun from a guy. I mean, it looks like a real gun the way he's painted it, but it's made out of wood. It's not real, but it looks beautiful. And he took the time, and I don't know how many hours it took to do that work, but it looks beautiful. There's people with talent. Now, a lot of people can share that talent. You know, growing up, and those that know, my granny, she was able to sew. I know that she made some dresses for some different girls at church. I know that she made dolls for children. I've got one of those dolls at home. I remember her stuffing those things with cotton when I was a kid. And I've got one of those at home. I think my mama's got Raggedy Ann and Andy that she made at home, and stuff like that. But I know that she gave that to a few different kids growing up, that they got things like that. Well, how much does a gift mean, especially a handmade gift? Well, it can mean the world. It can mean the world to somebody. As somebody took time to care. And I imagine making a dress, I mean, I watched her do part of the work, but I didn't just watch the whole process at different times. But I know there's at least several hours involved. If somebody gets a dress from somebody, what does that mean? They went out and bought the fabric and put it all together and sized you up and made it? That's something. And imagine at this time, don't have the electric sewing machines that we have today. All the effort that was put forth. And yet to give a gift. A gift is a precious thing. And sometimes you can win somebody with a gift that you wouldn't win any other way. That you show them kindness and love. I've known people that are able to cook, and they take dishes to people, and they check on the people that maybe, you know, homebound, they can't get out, and they stop by just to see them and check on them. Well, I tell you what, that does some good. And there's a lot of times, and I'm not being down on us men, but, you know, sometimes ladies notice that thing, those type of things better than us men do. And, you know, they notice when there's somebody that says, look, that person needs a visit. That person just needs somebody to come by and say hello. That person just needs a little bit of time. And sometimes you can find out they may need some other things. And I know in the Scriptures you got the deacons being set aside, and they were set aside for care as far as, you know, the widows in the church that were not being fed and not being taken care of. And I know there was deacons set aside for that. But I'll tell you this, a lot of times the women will notice those type of things before the men will. And it's valuable that they notice those things. I want to turn over to Romans chapter 16. And there's sometimes people say, well, all we teach as Christians is for women to just stay at home and tend to the home and do nothing else. But there's Scripture that does different than that. Now, while the home is the main part, and I could turn to Proverbs 31, and I'll say this, the virtuous woman didn't leave anything undone at her home. She was waking up early, going to bed late, and selling goods and buying property, planting a field. There was a lot of work that woman was involved in. She cared for the poor, she cared for the needy, and reached out and took care of the people in her house and made sure they were taken care of. But she didn't leave her children not taken care of, and she didn't leave the things that she needed to do as a wife. She was very diligent in all that she did. And even here, you've got a lady by the name of Phoebe in verse 1 of chapter 16. And notice some of the things that she did. It says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. Notice that word. Which we're all to be servants. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven is going to be he that serves. Well, this lady was a servant of the church, which is at Caesarea. That ye receive her. Now notice this. Paul is commending the church at Rome, this lady from the church at Caesarea. She's doing a work for the Lord. She wasn't trying to usurp authority over a man. She wasn't trying to be a minister or be a deacon. But she saw that there were things that she could do unto the Lord. And he said that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. And notice this part. And that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. Now he's telling the church, there's some work she's doing, and it's a good work. And he tells the church, I want you to assist her in the work that she's doing. You know, we've got it as far as an association. We believe that all authority resides in the local visible body. Our association realistically lasts for one day a year. And it's just for meeting up and letting people hear from the missionaries and knowing the work that's going on. And then, of course, fellowship amongst the churches that are of like faith. But you know, there's a lot of things that churches can do, and even people in the church can do. Can people in the church help the poor in their community? Can they even organize some things to where they can help some other people in the community to be a blessing? Thinking about poor, thinking about orphans and widows, which has pure religion, undefiled before God. Part of that is seeing about the widows and the orphans. You know, I've had somebody say, well, it's written in our association that the association will not, you know, as a group, support an orphanage. Is that stopping a church from doing that? It's not. It's not stopping a church. You know, somebody could go out and do some things for the Lord. And then if other churches decided to get behind it and support it, they're more than able to do that. But it takes somebody stepping up with a burden. Now, this lady here, Phoebe, had a burden. she had some business that even the Apostle Paul commended her to the church at Rome that they assist her in what she was doing. She hath been a securer of many and of myself also. Now, secure can mean a lot of things. It can mean somebody that supplies money. They gather up money for a certain cause. It can be somebody that provides food for somebody in need. It can be somebody that provides protection. We think about all the persecution that was going on in the early church, the Roman government after them, the Jews after the church, and the damage that they would do. There was people that needed some protection, no doubt, especially the people carrying the gospel into other areas. And there were people that wanted to beat them. There were people that wanted to kill them. There were people that wanted to have them in prison. Do you know there was people that needed to make ways that they could be protected and get from one area to another? And I don't know if that's what Phoebe did. We've got very limited information, but she was a secure of many and of the Apostle Paul also. He said, I want you to assist her. Now, she was providing food for people that were traveling with the gospel. Well, that's a pretty good need. You know, I think back, and I think it's in the book of 2 Kings. My memory serves me correct. But there was a lady that noticed one of the prophets coming by. I think it was Elijah. And she said, you know what we need to do? After she had fed him a couple times, come and got meals there as he passed by, she recognized that this is a man of the Lord. This is a man of the Lord. You know what she turned to her husband and did? Said, we need to build something onto the side of our house. A room. We need to put a bed in there. We need to put a table. We need to put a candle with a candlestick where he can take care of his business. And we need to let him lodge when he comes by. You know that used to be done a good bit? And I'm not saying it's still not. I know there's places that even missionaries that came from other countries last week to the association, I know there's people that open up their homes. There's some people that even have a special place to stay. But I know when preachers used to have to go and they'd preach at this church on one weekend and go to this church on the next weekend, and they had to rotate because there were so few preachers around, and they'd have to walk to different counties and share the gospel and be with the people. That there were people that opened up their homes and sometimes had a special place for them to stay. They would give meals to them, and I know there's some that still do things like that. Now, look, you come, you've got a place to stay. I've known people that even open up their house and say, if you got a camper or something, you can stay at our house. You get hungry, you come in and eat with us, and we want you to be comfortable. And so you see things like that in the Scripture. Well, that takes a lot of sacrifice, doesn't it? That takes a lot of effort. But does it assist the Word of God? It does. And it's in the Scripture. It is scriptural things. You know, I notice this. There's some women that have a special gift in reaching to young people. And what I mean by that is they see that they're struggling in school and they help them, they tutor them. I've known some people that take the extra mile and notice that somebody's not being taken care of by their parents or another loved one. They step in and they sacrifice and they take time with that child and give efforts to them. Look, there's works that can be done. And it's important work being done. Now, Phoebe did some kind of work where even the church assisted her. She was securing people. And again, I don't know if that was with food, shelter. I don't know what all that was. Gathering up money for maybe different mission trips and making sure that if they needed to take a boat from one location to another or whatever was needed, that there was things provided. But she took great risk. And she did work that was even commended of the Apostle Paul, even recommended to another church that they assist her in the work that she was doing. You go on down in verse 3 and you've got a husband and wife, Priscilla and Aquila. He said, my helpers in Christ who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. I'll say this, they didn't just help the Apostle Paul. They brought Apollos into their home when he had some things wrong with his doctrine, and they instructed him. You know, The women sit under the preaching just as well as the men do. And sometimes they take some good notes. And sometimes they get sound on doctrine. They can be a blessing to people. I've got notes from over the years. I don't know how many I've got. From good godly women. I've had good godly encouragement at back doors of churches before. Sometimes a little rebuke. Sometimes even some scriptures to say, hey, look in this a little bit more. But all that's important. And if I talk to any minister, that I know, they would probably say the same thing. You know, there's some ladies that have helped me in my studying. They've been a blessing to me. They've been an encouragement to me. I'll tell you what this husband and wife was. They were a blessing to the church. And not only to one church, but also unto all the churches of the Gentiles. They had a church that was in their house. Can you imagine what it's like? And I've seen this several times. I've had services in homes before. How much effort does it take to know you're going to have 20, 30, 40, 50 people over at different places? I'll tell you this, a lot of mission work started in homes. A lot of it did. And a lot of it could still be going on today, but a lot of people, they're scared to death to let people into their homes. Sometimes scared of what they might find in their homes. Sometimes scared that it's not clean enough to have everybody in their homes. How much work does it take to have people in your home like that? That takes a special sacrifice and effort, doesn't it? And yet there's people who have made that sacrifice. There's people who have cooked meals for people. I've seen the whole church before go over to houses and, you know, take part in fellowship. I tell you what, there's a lot of effort put into that. Sometimes when people dies, y'all know what ladies a lot of times do when a family member dies in somebody's family? They take a dish, don't they? I know y'all are hurting. I know y'all are going through a difficult time. Y'all don't need to be worried about your food. We'll take care of that for a time. Just to be a help. Just to be somebody to talk to. Fellowship. They had church in their house. He goes on, salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Notice this, another woman mentioned. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. And there's a couple of ladies that come to my mind, and I know it would for every preacher. I had a lady one time that just noticed she paid attention to things that were going around in the community. Where I pastored at a church one time, and I'd get phone calls. This person's up at the hospital. They don't have a pastor. They don't go to church. Would you mind dropping by and seeing them? I don't know how many times I dropped by different hospitals and saw people that didn't know me from Adam. But I would tell them that lady's name. They'd go, oh, yes, I know her. I got to share Christ with people. I got to see people come to church and visit out of things like that. And sometimes people say, oh, preacher, we don't want to bother you. Well, what am I here for? You know, I believe this. I believe a pastor is supposed to be the spiritual servant of the church. I believe that's taught very well scripturally. He's not to be served by the church. He's to be a servant to the church, to the people. And look, it is a wonderful thing. I've had people call me up and say, look, I've got a neighbor, and they said they would love for you to come by and visit with them and talk to them about some things. Maybe they could come to church and you know, but they finally were receptive to you coming over and having a conversation with them. Would you do that? Well, I've had people bestow some labor on me. And I don't mind that a bit. Shouldn't mind it a bit. I don't think Paul minded a bit when he said, she bestowed much labor on us. I think he was excited for that. How many doors have been opened by other people? We live in a society today where everybody wants the spotlight on them, don't they? Y'all notice that? I want the attention. I want the notoriety. I want people to notice all that I'm doing. But I tell you, over the years, there's a whole lot of work done in church that nobody notices it, but it's some of the most valuable work being done. There's some praying that's done that nobody really knows about, but it's extremely valuable. There's some sharing of the gospel. There's some inviting of people to church. There's some care for the needy that goes on that doesn't get a lot of attention. But if those things are not being done, I tell you what, the church is going to be limited at what it can do. I'll even say this. You know, there's a lot of churches that have no idea who cleans the church. I bet you at my home church, probably half the church doesn't know who cleans the church. But I'll tell you this, the pastor didn't get out all the time and vacuum it and have everything clean, the windows clean, the bathrooms clean and all that. Some people put forth some work so that we can come and enjoy some things. And I know there's more work than just the ladies' work talked about. But there are so many things that people can do. And there's such important work that people can do. There's some who want the talking points. There's some who want the recognition. There's some who want the light shined upon them. I'll tell you what, there's going to be a lot of rewards handed out by God because people did some things behind the scenes. Do you know, even in our almsgiving, God said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. He talked about the privacy of it, not trying to bring attention to yourself for your almsgiving or what we call charity. And yet there's a lot of people that do a lot of work behind the scenes so things can get done, so people are taken care of, that maybe others don't see, but I know that God does. Paul's going through a list here, and there's a lot of times we say, oh, Paul did this work and he did that work. Let me ask you this. Where would Paul have been without Aquila and Priscilla? Paul knew the answer to that. Where would he have been without Phoebe? Paul knew the answer to that. How much work would he have gotten done if it wouldn't have been for ladies in the church like Mary? How many souls would have been saved? There's a lot of people that I've got to share the gospel with over the years that it was because the door was opened by somebody else. And I've told people many times, if they trust Christ, if they serve the Lord, I'm not the one getting the reward for that. The people that gave me the opportunity are the ones that I think are getting the reward for it. They opened the door. They made the opportunity possible. And I know there's some more that's mentioned all the way down to verse 15 in this chapter. I know I could go read some other places and some other scriptures about some fine people in the church. I mean, you go to Timothy. Where would Timothy have been without his mother and grandmother? His father or grandfather wasn't even mentioned, but the faith of his mother and grandmother was. I'll even say this, it's not mentioned enough. You know what the best occupation in the world is? That I can find in the Scripture. I heard a man say this one time. He said, the number one occupation in all the world is a godly wife and mother. And he said, all other occupations are meant to support that one. I don't disagree. There's a lot of people that they wouldn't have heard the gospel without a good grandmother, a good mother. Some people wouldn't have even been brought to church without their mother or grandmother. How valuable is their work? Again, I notice a lot of things being done over the years. I think about water sometimes. I think about cleaning. I think about a lot of various things that goes on that maybe other people don't pay attention to or recognize, but I know God does. The Bible said if we even fixed a cup of water to help in the gospel, to give to His people, He said they shall in no wise lose their reward. There's some things we think are so small, but God doesn't see them that way. I know we sing the song, Little as Much, when God is in it. And we don't need to forget that. Faithfulness in prayer, faithfulness in study. I know the need of this. You know what's missing in a lot of churches today is there's not enough older women teaching the younger women how to be mothers and wives. It's taught in Titus chapter 2 that the elder women teach the younger women how they're to live a Christian life. Now, I can preach a whole lot of things from the pulpit, but let's be honest about it. Women will pay a whole lot more attention to another woman than they will a man standing in the pulpit. It's not meaning that our preaching has no effect. That's not what I'm saying. But when it is supported by the other women of the church and it's encouraged and it's taught by them, look, sometimes I've seen people, you know, complain, well, this younger generation, they don't know how to do this. Well, they're not loving their husband right. They're not raising their children right. Who's taught them? I tell you what, that's an important work. It's an important work and one that's valuable and needful. You know there's women today that have not been taught how to be a wife? They've not been taught how to love their own husbands. They've not been taught anything about submitting to their own husbands as unto the Lord. They've not been taught how to raise their children. Is it good when somebody comes along and says, look, I can help you with that. I can be of an assistance to you. And when they're going through difficult times, you know, I've told some young men before, there's sometimes young men, they're like, oh, I'm so in love with this girl over here and I'm going to marry her, but yet her mama's been divorced 2 or 3 times. Sister's been divorced. They have not been taught faithfulness, have they? They've not been taught stability. And I'll tell you this, I don't care how good of a husband you find or how good of a wife you find, you're going to have some problems somewhere along the way in your marriage. You need somebody encouraging you not to quit, not to gripe or complain, but to persevere and still love that person. I tell you what, some good godly women can be a great blessing to people's marriage. They can tell them of some things that they've gone through, some difficult times, some hardships, and how they overcame and how they've got a blessed marriage. I'll tell you this, people don't just stay married 50 or 60 or 70 years by chance. That's commitment. It's hard work. It's forgiveness. There's a whole lot that goes into that, both from the husband's side and the wife's side. There needs to be some godly women encouraging these young women. You know, it's mentioned in the Scripture, and I know a man can do this, but scripturally, it is mentioned that a believing wife can win her unbelieving husband unto the Lord. How many men have y'all known that learned a lot about being a man and learning how to mature and grow up because they found a good wife? I've heard a number of stories of that over the years. Number of accounts. I've heard a lot of men say, you know what, I was pretty hard, but my wife came along, and man, she was a blessing to me, she helped me. I've known some that said, if it wasn't for my wife, I'd have never trusted the Lord. It's written in Scripture that by their chaste conversation, they can win their lost husbands unto the Lord. I'll even say this to you women, y'all have a special gift of God. Y'all are more nurturing than us men on the most part. Even more forgiving. A lot of times, us men can be hard-headed and stubborn. I know God's supposed to help us with all that, and I know He does. But I'll tell you what, a good woman can do a lot for a man. I tell you what, it is good to have the older women to teach those younger women how to be that. How valuable is that work in our day and time? There's a lot of young women coming up that they get married and they have no clue what they're doing. And I know I could say the same with a lot of young men too. And we need good godly men showing them how to be men. We need that. But this burden that God's given us today is on good godly women. I'll tell you what, a good godly woman can change a man. She can do a lot. And it needs to be said every now and then. And look, y'all might think, well, y'all, you should save this message to next Sunday, preacher. Next Sunday's Mother's Day. But God burdened me with it today. We need to be appreciative of our godly women. We need to be thankful for them. We need to hold them up. I'll tell you what, that virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, she did all that work, and her husband and her children praised her for it. Faithfulness deserves some recognition. Being virtuous, righteous, holy deserves some recognition and some praise. And we as a church need to remember that the work that women have to do in the church, for the church, and even for other people, it is a valuable work. How many children today don't know the love of a mother? How many children today have nobody instructing them or caring for them? How many young ladies are growing up and they've been brainwashed by feminism and all these other things? I'm to lead, I'm to do this, and they're caught up in pride. How valuable is it to teach them humility and to teach them their value as a wife and as a mother? And what a difference does that make for the children and the grandchildren coming up? This is not small things. This is big things. And there is work that women can do in the church. There is things that they can help with. They'll notice when there's people that are hurting. They'll notice when there's people that need comforting. They'll notice when there's people that need talking to. They'll notice when somebody's sick and they need somebody to stop by and check on them or call them and give them a word of encouragement. It's not that us men can't do that. But I tell you what, women have a special gift from God. They'd use it. That they can be an encouragement and a blessing to others. They can be a blessing to young people. Look, there's time when us men are sometimes a little hard, especially on young people. Where a woman's got a little bit more of a gentle hand that can gain their trust. There's orphans that need assistance today. There's widows that need assistance today. And we need good, godly women in the church that can be a blessing to others. We need it. They can be a great blessing to others. They can point people to Christ through their love and their care. And they are a valuable asset to a church. And we need to look in the Scripture sometimes. I don't want women doing things that God doesn't want them doing. That would go contrary to Scripture. But I do want to encourage them to do everything that God would allow them to do to bring glory and honor to the Lord. And we need to encourage that. And we need to teach the value of it. And I want to encourage us today that we know the worth that we have. We notice the value that we have in our women of the church. And I hope that they're encouraged, that they would look out and say, God, I want to do what's honorable to You. And they would look for ways to serve Him. I think Phoebe was just looking for a way that she could serve the Lord. I think Dorcas was looking for a way that she could serve the Lord and show His love to others. And I tell you what, that is extremely valuable in any church today. And we need to make sure that we encourage it. This is the burden that God has given us. If you would have anything upon your heart, we'd invite you to come. I have a verse of a song.